Podcast. Bryce Cherry alongside John Werner. And John, after six games, Baylor has already reached bowl eligibility. That's the minimum.
It took 12 last year.
Right. This comes after last weekend's exciting and somewhat controversial, especially if you're a Tech fan, 33-30, double overtime win over the Red Raiders. Before we look ahead to Baylor's next game, let's stop and kind of take an aerial picture of the Bears midway through this year. What do you feel like are the team's biggest bright spots? And then maybe what are the most pressing areas of concern?
To me, the biggest bright spot is the D-line. Mm. I think it's been incredible.
It really has, and you're talking about a three-man defensive line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they switched to that 3-3-5 defense. The pressure is on them to deliver a great pass rush, and boy, have they delivered a great pass rush.
They really have. I mean, I think that might have been the concern, you know, whether they would be able to generate that kind of pass rush with just three guys, but it's worked beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, they've already got 23 sacks, which is two less than they had all of last year.
Yeah.
And they're leading the Big 12. You know, they're up there in the country in sacks. And to me, James Lynch is an All-American.
He made AP's midseason All-American team. He's got 8.5 sacks already on the year, which is second in the country. Only this Boise State linebacker has more with 9. So, he's been dominant. I made a comment earlier in the year that he was the second coming of J.J. Watt. He's played like it.
At the college level, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration.
Right. So what about, concerns for going forward?
Well, to me, there's two big concerns. The O-line still has to get better. Mm. I think they got a little better last week. But Charlie took some shots. They still need to run the ball better. Compared to, the previous weeks, they improved.
Right.
So maybe that's a good sign. And to me, the biggest concern now is losing Clay Johnston.
I agree. I mean, I think Clay is virtually irreplaceable. Yeah. And not to say Terrell Bernard can't come in and play well, but as Matt Rhule sort of illustrated in his press conference this week, Clay makes everybody else look better because he cleans up mistakes.
Yes.
He covers the field like a tarp. He's just everywhere. And I think that's something that you can't replace with one guy, and you'll have to try to replace it with a lot of guys just doing a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, he's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He calls the plays on the defense. Obviously a very smart player. So, yeah, and like everybody was saying this week, everybody else has to step up with him gone.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick about it just because, he's such a good guy.
Oh, man.
You hate to see seniors get hurt like that in their last year. We wish Clay the best of luck in the future. But
great guy.
Yeah, really fun to cover.
Yeah, great guy. One of the best interviews ever.
Yeah, the dude.
The dude.
the dude.
Yeah.
Well, this game coming up may offer Baylor its most daunting challenge yet. Bears head to Stillwater, a place they have not played well historically in the Big 12, to face an explosive Oklahoma State team. The Cowboys have had 2 weeks to prepare for this one. They had an open date last week. They haven't played since losing 45-35 on the road to Texas Tech 2 weeks ago. Even Matt Rhule this week in his press conference a couple of times said, not a lot of people really expect us to win this one. So what do the Bears have to do to win it?
Well, Charlie Brewer cannot throw 3 interceptions again.
No, absolutely not.
They've got to have a mistake-free game. They've got to force some turnovers. They've got to find some way to at least contain Chuba Hubbard. And, he has chewed up everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 3 plus 200 yard games this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bad game for him. Was,
maybe 150.
Well, yeah, I was going to say against Tech, you know, he only had 156 yards and three touchdowns.
Only? Yeah, he's been, I mean, again, he made the AP midseason All-American.
He should be. He's leading the country in rushing.
But yeah.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to contain him and just try to block out the noise up there. That's really hard because those fans are right on top of you. And that's what makes it such a hard place to play. Those fans, they're right there.
Right.
And it's hard, you know, not to let them get to you.
You mentioned forcing turnovers, and I think that'll be a huge key both in this game and moving forward. I did a story, of course, this week on the Bears, you know, forcing a few more lately. You know, the first three games of the year, they only forced one in each of those games. Then they had two in the next couple, and then last week they forced three. They still ended up coming out even in the turnover battle because, like you said, Charlie had a rough game. But to me, you know, we know what a big deal turnovers are in a game. But in doing research for that story, it was just illustrated all the more. Under Matt Rhule, there's 5-0 when they win the turnover battle, which is not that many games.
No.
They haven't won it that many times. When they're even in turnovers, they're 8-5.
Mm-hmm.
And when they lose the turnover battle, they're 1-12.
Wow.
So
those are some great stats.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those stats that, you know, I mean, you want to come out on the plus side on that because it directly correlates with winning.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't expect Charlie to have that kind of game again. That was very uncharacteristic of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be more careful with the ball, but it's really hard to win up there.
I was going back and looking at some of the just the plays, the highlights from that game. Even, I guess, if you're a Baylor fan, some of the lowlights, I guess. And the one that really seemed uncharacteristic to me, it seemed that way at the time, but even more so after watching the tape, was that one that he tried to force into the end zone. Because
that was
a really bad decision because right there, if it's not there, if you're, you know, you don't throw into double or triple coverage, you throw that away and take a field goal or whatever. As I slowed that, and again, you can't, these guys aren't playing the game in slow motion, but as I sort of was watching that play develop, he had a receiver sort of underneath that he could have thrown to. So, you know, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Charlie will probably have a worse game this year than he did.
Yeah.
So it's lucky that Baylor was able to win that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, it's pretty clear that Oklahoma is the team to beat in the Big 12. This is what we expected coming into the year, and it's played out that way. Sooners, like Baylor, are undefeated. Their defense is a lot better than it's been in some time, and Jalen Hurts is playing like a Heisman contender. But my question, John, isn't about Oklahoma. Like I said, we kind of expected them to be the best team in the Big 12. So my question is this, who's the second best team? Who's most likely to join the Sooners in that Big 12 championship game?
I don't want to sound like a homer here, but I think Baylor is in a tie with Texas for second best, and I think it's going to come down to that November 23rd game here.
In Waco, yeah.
I would not be shocked at all if it comes to that. I think Texas is probably a little better, but Baylor playing at home, they might win that game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's a toss-up game. I don't think you can completely discount Iowa State at this point.
No, and they're playing pretty well now.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, the earlier loss to Baylor kind of hurts them in that regard, but, you know, they could certainly put themselves in that
too.
But I do think it's between those three teams. I think after those three, there's another sort of little drop-off, you know, between the them and the TCUs and Techs and stuff. So
right.
There's a story today on the wire, the Associated Press wire, about how the SEC, and I know we don't talk a lot of SEC here on the Big 12 podcast, but how it's experiencing this offensive explosion, you know. Meanwhile, here in the Big 12, for the first time since 2013, this was a stat the Big 12 put out. The Big 12 has four teams ranked within the top 36, which is a random number, but of scoring defense at this point of the season.
Wow.
So first time in 6 years. Baylor is number 17 in scoring defense. K-State is 22. Oklahoma is 31. And Iowa State is 36. Have these conferences switched places?
Wow. I mean, those are some pretty good numbers you threw out there, Bryce. Yeah. I wouldn't say they've switched places, but I think the SEC has kind of come around to what the Big 12 has been doing for years, just more wide-open offenses, up-tempo offenses. I think a lot of those teams are doing that now. But I do think Big 12 defenses are getting better, and I think part of the reason is because they've seen these offenses now for, you know, whenever, 7, 8 years, probably more.
Right.
So I think defensive coordinators are starting to adjust some. It's still very hard to defend these kind of offenses, but I think they're getting better. And, you know, I think the biggest thing to me to defending these offenses is getting some turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, maybe getting a stop here and there, but usually it's turnovers because, you know, you're usually going to give up 400, 500, 600 yards a week.
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of the way it is.
Right.
But to keep scoring down, you've got to get turnovers.
Yeah, and it's hard to do because we do have a lot of really good quarterbacks in the Big 12 still. And, you know, a lot of times they'll throw 67-70% of their passes as completions. You know, Charlie Brewer did not have an interception until this week when he had three. So it's not easy to get those turnovers.
No, it's not.
But, you know, I do feel like it's not just the defenses maybe getting better. I think it's also somewhat some of the new coaches that are in the league, and I'm even including Matt Rhule in that group. In the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've seen guys like Matt Rhule and maybe Matt Wells at Texas Tech who are kind of different from the Art Briles and Mike Leach's and these guys that were really more known for their offensive acumen.
I think you can throw Matt Campbell in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the Matts.
All the Matts.
They bring the D.
Matty D.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out this week.